excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
Here goes, put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, let's get it going. This hour of Flames Talk is underway. It is Wednesday, July 3rd. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. When it comes to your business, knowing your property's secure is better than wondering who's getting in. Get peace of mind at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. Steinberg, Wes Gilbertson of Post Media along with you. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio. It's good to be back in Calgary. It's good to be able to see my my partner's face, unlike Monday when it was just your voice. Hello, Wes.
Hey, buddy.
How's it going? It's been a busy week, hey?
You know, I'm just relieved you're home. I feel whole again.
I'm glad that I could make such a difference in your life.
I had some serious FOMO last week. You know, you and Vix running around Vegas, covering the draft. Missed out. I missed you guys.
Well, next year.
You anyways.
Yeah. Who misses Vickers? What a busy week, though. We are not even a week removed. It feels like 6 weeks ago the Flames traded Andrew Mangiapane, and it's not even a week. It was 6 days ago the Flames sent Mangiapane to the Washington Capitals for a second-round pick. Since that time, the Flames have made 10 selections at the NHL draft. They went in with 9. We were wondering if they were going to make less than 9. They made a trade. That trade was to get an additional selection, so they end up with 10 picks when it's all said and done. A boatload of free agents signed on Monday. I'd be interested to see what the text line has to say. Obviously, we saw lots of the texts on Monday while we were going through the free agency show and reacting on the fly, but feels like the vast majority of Flames fans, whether it be in my mentions on Twitter or whether it be on our text line, it feels like a good chunk of Flames fans have been really happy with this past week for the Flames, starting with the Mangiapane trade, which I think was an absolute home run, which is no knock on Andrew. I am as big a fan of Mangiapane as you're going to find, both as a player and a dude. So it wasn't going to be a long-term fit anymore, and he's got an opportunity to go play in Washington, get himself some great playing time, and we'll see what happens with his next contract.
Yeah, and let's start there, because I haven't had a chance to touch on this one yet with you. I think this is going to be one of those deals that you might look at and say, geez, that worked out really well for both sides. From a Flames standpoint, as you said, excuse me, both fit and salary structure, the writing was on the wall. Andrew Mangiapane wasn't going to be a Flame for more than 82 more games. And so to recoup a second-round pick without the sort of sweetener that we saw, Mikheyev go to Chicago with, the sweetener that we saw Jake Walman go to San Jose with, the fact that you just moved that amount of money, which is so, so, so hard in the NHL today, and got a second-round pick back, I think that's savvy business by Craig Conroy. And I also think the Washington Capitals, who need more guys that can go retrieve the puck and can bring some of that buzz, I suppose, that Andrew Mangiapane is capable of, I think he's actually going to be a really nice fit in DC.
I think he'll be great there.
I fully expect Andrew Mangiapane to be staying longer than this season in Washington. I just think that he's a guy at his age, as they try to balance the Ovechkin record chase with turning over their roster a little bit, I think they picked up a real nice piece there. And, you know, I traded text quickly with Andrew. I know he was so thankful for the opportunity and support he got in Calgary, but I think that's going to be a real nice fit with the Capitals.
And I thought that a second round pick was kind of the max they were going to get for him.
I'd agree with that.
And they probably would have had to retain at the deadline. And so maybe by retaining, they could have got themselves a fourth or a fifth round pick, but you got the second round pick and retained nothing. Mm-hmm. I think it was a home run deal for the Flames. I really do. And I think it's a great, I'm with you. I think Mange will be a great fit in Washington, and it's like, I'm a little sad. No more bread references. No more throwing loaves of bread on the ice. Like this guy was a fan favorite and a fan favorite for a reason.
Well, and a King Clancy Memorial Trophy nominee in a city with the reigning King Clancy winner in Michael Backlund. So just to get the team nomination with all the work that Michael Backlund does in the community is no small feat. I know Andrew and his fiance, I hope I don't mess this up, Claudia, is that right?
Yep.
I know that breadsticks program has been such a difference maker. So kudos to them on that. But I agree with you. Like you, when you talk about the value you're getting back in a second round pick, you're moving that money now. And that's real money. You know, it's saving someone millions of dollars, saving the organization millions of dollars, but it's also not blocking any of your young wingers. Like if there's one position that the Flames are probably overstuffed at, it's on the wings right now. And so if Andrew Mangiapane's departure maybe opens up an opportunity for Jacob Pelche or more ice time for Matt Coronato or a spot on the second power play for Matt Coronato or whatever that looks like, you know, if you were trying to inflate Andrew Mangiapane's value before the trade deadline by making sure he, you know, was up to 20 goals, it would have come at the expense of one of those kids, and not at the expense perhaps of his roster spot, but ice time opportunity, all that stuff. And so a really smart bit of business, I think.
And that's what started the week. And from that point forward, 10 picks, the Flames really targeted skill and high end skill, offense, hockey sense were the big targets for the Flames. And, you know, you take a look at, and I am loathe to give D's and F's, the same way I'm loath to give A's and A pluses, but the draft experts are all in love with Calgary's draft and the value picks and so on and so forth. I've read a couple of things. I think it's Byron who was talking about how this is their best by his metrics. Byron Bader was talking about how by his metrics, best draft since 2016, which the Flames nailed.
That model he has, by the way, is like
super interesting.
What a rabbit hole. I had a great chat with him last week, and what a terrific resource. Like you could spend hours and hours looking at that data.
Good draft.
Yeah.
Then in free agency, nothing crazy.
Yeah.
Well, let's just another example.
Let's start with the draft really quick, because I think just as an example of the skill that they're adding, like, you know, you and I aren't Sam Cosentino or Jason Bukla in the sense of we're not scouting these kids all year. And so, you know, the Flames make a pick and you type the name into the Google box. And it's like every time they make a pick, listen, we talked lots about Zane Parekh in the lead up. I know he's a guy that I had sort of targeted as a player I was intrigued by. But then you get going from there and it's like, every time they make a pick, you punch the kid's name in, and it's like, oh, geez, okay.
USHL leading scorer.
Yeah. Oh, just
Ontario Junior Hockey League leading scorer.
Oh, this guy just put up 83 points in the USHL, which is a very hard league to put up those sort of numbers in. Oh, geez, this guy was the CJHL Player of the Year, 100 points. Oh, okay. Well, you know, all young Jacob Battaglia did was score 25 or 30 goals in the OHL. Oh, geez, Henry Muse, almost a point per game as an 18-year-old defenseman. Oh, look, another guy. Fifth round pick, 80-some points last season. Like 50 assists, I think. It's just that shows you the sort of investment. Because when we talk about draft eligibles, sometimes the numbers are pretty underwhelming. Because they're 18-year-olds, 17 and 18-year-olds playing typically major junior. Like that, I think that just speaks to the caliber of talent and potential offensive IQ that was brought into the organization.
Every time I asked Todd Button on Saturday on the floor, the director of amateur scouting, about a player, he said, skill and hockey sense. That was what they targeted across. Yeah. I mean, a little bit less with the goalie, because you're looking at different things when it comes to a goaltender.
Yeah.
But yeah, and the draft was a lot of people loved.
Yeah.
And then free agency.
Real quick, I know you want to get to free agency.
Guy, do you have another 10 minutes on Mangiapane?
No. Real quick on Kirill.
I'm just kidding, by the way.
The Russian goaltender.
Yeah.
just if anyone's wondering why he's not at development camp this week, essentially the turnaround being what it is, a player's drafted on Saturday, they need him in Calgary on Tuesday for development camp, and with the visas he needs as a Russian to travel, that's the reason. And if you're wondering also about Arseniy Sergeyev, goaltender who has just transferred to Penn State, that's a visa issue as well. His had expired.
They've been working on that for a little while.
Wasn't able to get renewed in time. So if you're wondering why those two Russian goalies aren't on the development camp roster, that's why.
And
hey,
I mean,
do you want to talk about free agency?
I don't know, Wes. Do you have any? Do you want to sidetrack us anywhere? I'm just giving you a hard time because the main.
I liked you better when you were in Vegas.
So did a lot of people. Anybody who has to see me in person loved me way better in Vegas. The main thing that I'm driving at is that everybody seems to be super positive about what the Flames have done over the last week. Like I've seen, and I'm curious as to what the text line has to say. We'll get to that in a second. But like people talking about how this is the best week they can remember in terms of hope for the bigger picture, and that for the first time, it feels like there is a bigger picture plan and all those types of things. I'm not saying it's universal. Nothing is. But I have seen way more of that on the text line. I've seen way more of that in my mentions. And I saw it after the Mangiapane trade, certainly after Friday and Saturday at the draft. And then Monday, when you start seeing the type of signings the Flames made, the very low slash no risk signings with potential upside. I mean, the upside on Jake Bean exists, and the upside on Mantha, it may not be from an age standpoint that it exists, but what if Mantha gets you 25 goals or is on pace for 25 or 30 goals at the trade deadline? There's upside in that. And Lomberg
just last year for a second and fourth
and joined Vegas and they were happy to pay that. So I just, everything that the Flames did, what I like about it is that it continues to be pointed at the long term and the bigger picture. Everything Craig Conroy has done from his first move a little more than a year ago, moving Tyler Toffoli to the New Jersey Devils. Since that time, everything that he has done has been, you could see it fitting into a plan. It hasn't just been this kind of random jigsaw puzzle piece. You're like, well, where does that move fit?
Right.
Everyone seems to have been another brick in the road in terms of where this team wants to go on their 3 to 5 year plan here.
Yeah, I've been sort of struck by two things. A, you know, we've talked on this program plenty about the importance of Craig Conroy sticking to his guns and the patient approach that would be required for a team that was going to really try to overhaul its roster. You know, as sort of an aside, I got looking at Ryan Lomberg, you know, wondering, okay, well, who's Ryan played with? It was only 4 seasons that he was in Florida. Who would he know in Calgary? Like, go through that roster and try and find guys who are still around from 4 seasons ago. It's not very easy to do, right? Like it's Michael Backlund, Rasmus Anderson. He played briefly with Martin Pospisil in the minors, but beyond that, I think potentially the entire roster has been overturned. And
you know, and obviously Huberdeau and Uyghur as well.
Right. And he's played with those guys, but just looking in the Flames system, you know, the other thing that struck me, and I understand when you're looking at maybe the comments on social media, it's not, you're not necessarily getting a window into how every fan feels. It can be, you know, the more vocal, I suppose, supporters. And I've just been struck by the patience that you see from the fan base. And we'll see the same thing on the text line. Like, maybe patience isn't the right word, but it's
willingness to like accept where this is going, right?
What'll be
a part of it on the path.
And I, not to nitpick, but I don't even like the word accept because for me, it's more embrace.
Embrace, yeah.
It really is like, yeah, no, don't go long term. Don't go chasing big fish. Oh, Jake DeBrusque just got 7 years. Yeah, we did not want to do that. Like there, this is a fan base that's really bought in on the plan. And, you know, for years when people would say, well, why won't the Flames rebuild? Why won't they retool? Why won't they go younger? You know, there was always an argument to be made on the business side that it, you know, it can be tough to keep your fans as you go through that sort of a process, and you know, based on what I'm seeing, that's not going to be a concern. I actually, I'm quite blown away by the amount of excitement that has already built at what is the very infancy stage of this process.
And the Flames still have a ton of flexibility.
Sure.
Which, I mean, this is what Craig Conroy said on Monday when he joined us about, you know, his free agency approach and the type of flexibility that it gives the team here.
You know, we talk about organizational discipline and yeah, would we, everyone would love to go and sign certain players and 7-year deals, and the players would all love that. And, you know, some guys have, and we've done that in the past. And, you know, I just think where we are right today, you know, it was to be patient and bring in guys. And it's not to say these guys are going to be here 1 or 2 years. Like, it gives us an opportunity to see if it's a fit for both sides. If it works well, you know, there's always time to do another contract. That's not the point, you know, that was, but just to lock in long-term, just right now just didn't make sense. We have some young guys coming in that, you know, we also want to give opportunity to moving forward.
And what this does with still like $22 million of cap space, it allows them to use that cap space if they want to get assets and bring in a quote unquote bad contract from elsewhere, or a contract another team is finding a little more cumbersome. The Flames can accept that, similar to what they did in the Lindholm trade with Andre Kuzmenko. Something like that is available to them. They've got a lot of flexibility here.
I should know the answer to this, but are there many teams that are like have put themselves over the cap at this point, or do you have any obvious targets for where they might go find that bad contract they could be willing to exploit in some way?
Already there are 5 teams over the cap.
Okay.
Vegas is a team that I'm sure they could help out.
Yeah.
A team that I'm really interested in. They're not over the cap, but I do wonder a little bit going forward, because they just signed a contract extension for Slavin. I wonder a little bit about Carolina. Is there some help the Flames could give there? Even though Carolina does have a lot of cap space, so
yeah,
it's going to start to go a little bit further. Could they help out with a guy like Kotkaniemi or something like
sure.
that?
Sure. It sounds like they're driving a really hard bargain on Nakash, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I think so, all of a sudden, Nashville.
Is that?
Natchez.
Yeah. Natchez.
I believe that's the way we say it.
Thank you, buddy.
There's Toronto. There's there's definitely areas that they could help out with.
Might
there's
have no that number.
It might still be the same number
might
as
be,
before.
Might be active.
Let me read a few texts at 960-960. This says, like you guys said, this seems like a plan finally, rather than scrambling to compete and replace players that have left by signing enormous contracts. This says, from Dan and Cochran, I was hoping if the Flames waited to the deadline and were willing to retain half, maybe they'd get a second for Mange. What do I know? Get it done now with no risk of injury and no retention. I love Mange, but where do I sign? This says, 960-960, I'm very happy the Flames are going to be absolutely bad until the new arena opens, finally deciding to do it. That comes from Ryan. This says, given Calgary's unfortunate track record with American-born players, it was great to see that none were selected in the draft. No knock on our American brothers, but I'm happy Flames management seems to have learned from their past mistakes. This says, this is the most excited I've ever been at being a Flames fan. Finally hope, a plan in place, direction. This is what I've wanted for decades. Great draft, great free agency, not a single F-bomb dropped during this stretch, which is rare territory in Conroy we trust. Lucas says Conroy's doing a magnificent job getting players that actually want to be here. I'd rather have a Jake Bean that wants to be here over an Elias Lindholm whose heart isn't in the game and wants out. This says, I love most of the moves so far. One thing I don't understand is bringing in the veteran free agents when it appears to be the Flames are moving to making room for the youth movement. One thing I'll say about that, they still have plenty of room on defense for young players like Zane Parekh, wow us. Come on, like
yeah.
somebody else.
And,
wow, Jeremy Poirier,
yeah,
Hunter Brestevich, whatever.
I don't even consider Jake Bean at 26 on the blue line to be a veteran. But
fair.
But I think that, you know, that comment certainly applies more to Lomberg and
Mantha.
Anthony Mantha.
But and the one thing, we talked a little bit about this on Monday, but I will say that, you know, Calgary's track record over the last year of making room for players that earn it.
Mm-hmm.
Has been strong, and they've found ways to whether it means pushing players down the depth chart, having players on healthy scratch nights, whatever the case may be. They made space for Connor Zeri. They made space for Martin Pospisil. And they made space early on for Matt Coronato. And then when he was ready to come. So I don't, as much as you're like, oh, where is player X or Y going to fit?
Sure.
If Jacob Pelche or Matt Coronato or Sam Hanzek or whoever you want to point to is like, this guy needs to start in the NHL, I fully believe the Flames will make room for it and do what they need to do. They put Jordan Oesterle on waivers last year a couple of times. Like they made room for guys if they deserve to play, and I continue to believe that's what they'll do this year as well. What would lead you to believe otherwise?
Yeah, and we're talking about some guys, you know, on very short deals, right? Anthony Mantha, as we've touched on, is a one-year contract. You know, that's easy to move if you feel like he's getting in the way of one of your young guys. Something we haven't talked about from Monday was, you know, Craig Conroy's response when he was asked about a potential extension for Andre Kuzmenko, and he kind of, you know, said, we're just going to wait. Like, it's been a pretty small window. There were some health issues, obviously, in that window with Andre last year. And so, you know, to paraphrase, Craig Conroy just said, well, we're just going to wait and see where that goes. And so that's another guy that you have some flexibility with, right? Kevin, they only gave Kevin Rooney, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, a one-year extension.
Yep.
And so you've got a bunch of guys signed short term. And I fully believe that the Calgary Flames, if there's a kid who is showing, hey, you got to make a spot for me, while it might be give us a few weeks like it was with Connor Zeri at the start of this season, if that kid continues to force their hand, he's going to find himself in the lineup sooner than later.
A few more texts. Peter in Lethbridge, I've always been hesitant for the Flames to go in this direction because of loving the winning culture and playoff competitiveness, etc. But I got to say, it now feels like there's a plan and they're sticking to it. It feels good now knowing they're going to be going in a different direction because clearly things were not working out earlier. Be wary of the Flames in 4 to 5 years. And finally, Robin Coldale says, and Connie, I trust. I like the plan and the way he's executing it. 960-960 on the text line. We got a motor, so just a couple of quick hitters here. First of all, this was Craig Conroy on Monday with us on Oliver Shillington.
We're not closing the door. You know, we thought we offered something fair earlier, and it just, they felt maybe they were looking for something different. So, you know, but the door is not closed completely. We're going to, you know, I'll go back upstairs after and just kind of talk to the group and see where we're at and you know, where Oliver is too.
I know on the big show on Wednesday morning, Connie said very similar things with Maddie and George and essentially said, yeah, door's not closed. It continues like it's closing, but it's not closed. So what's your read on Oliver Shillington here?
It, not to put words in Craig Conroy's mouth, but it sounds to me like, you know what our offer is. That's how I feel. Yeah. I believe there's still room. You've got a lot of uncertainty on your blue line, right? You know, we still don't know what Daniil Miramanov is in terms of where he fits minutes wise. You know, we'll have to see what Jake Bean is. You know, can he slide into a top four spot? What's Kevin Ball? You know, where do you see Braden Paul? There's a lot of guys that as you try to assign a role to on your blue line, it's hard to say exactly. And so I think there'd still be a spot for Oliver Shillington. I personally, and this isn't something I've heard, but I personally think there could still be a fit.
I do too.
I just keep hearing, hey, you know what we're willing to do.
Yep. I don't believe the door is closed.
No, me
and
neither.
I believe they'd still bring him back if the JP Barry's the representation and if Oliver and JP came back and said, hey, we're willing to sign what you had on the table, I still think there's an opportunity for a reunion. And so we'll wait to see how that plays out. Check out the Conroy chat, about 30 minutes with the boys on the Big Show podcast. And then Matvei Gridin goes first overall in the CHL import draft. First round pick of the Flames on Friday. He went to Val d'Or in the CHL. Not sure if Valdor is going to be the place that he stays. I wonder if Valdor looks at moving him, especially if the Gridden camp is still looking at maybe the college route. There might be some spots that would keep him north of the border a little bit easier. We'll see how that plays out.
Right.
Matvei Gridden is committed or was committed to Michigan, also goes first overall in the import draft. So we'll see how that plays itself out, too.
You had mentioned, was it Scott Wheeler from the Athletics?
Yes, he went linked to Rimouski.
Right, and Rimouski is hosting the Memorial Cup next year, so that's always a team that's looking to load up. I got to admit, I don't know all the rules about trading imports in the CHL, whether you can go across leagues, but that one's going to be fascinating to follow.
Okay. We're going to chat with Brad Pascal momentarily, Flames AGM, VP of Hockey Ops, and the guy in charge of the Calgary Wranglers. Some interesting signings in a depth fashion for the Flames as well. We'll hit that with Brad Pascal as we continue along, as right now we're coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
Flames Talk is live on Calgary's Hockey Station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Time now to say hello to the Calgary Flames VP of Hockey Ops and Assistant General Manager. Always good to catch up with Brad Pascal, who joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. It's been a busy week for Brad as well. Lots going on at the draft. Hockey Ops stuff going down there. Obviously, 10 draft picks. I know Brad is busier more than just that at drafts as well, plus free agency. Mr. Pascal is also in charge of the American League Calgary Wranglers. So lots to talk about with Brad Pascal. Hello, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing good, gentlemen. Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure. How was the draft for you? Take us through your draft week.
Yeah, it's always busy. It's good to sit in with our meetings with our amateur scouts. Going through all the information that they've gathered through the talking to people, background information, information, you know, on the testing and interviews from the NHL Combine that we added to our overall ratings and then finalizing the list. It's an exciting time. Our scouts, that's what they do all year. And to get it down to that final list is it's a big relief for them, an exciting time. And overall, I thought it was really good. You know, we had a number of picks that we're excited about. I mean, like any draft, you leave there and there's a level of excitement, players that maybe had higher on your list and you got them or lower on your list. And, I think it's, it's the first step is now, how do you make them NHL players? And we liked them in junior and where they were. Now it's collective the goal to get them to be NHL players. And, some of them it's going to be quicker than others, and it's a process. And that it all begins with our development camp here and get our hands on them. So that's exciting part of everything.
Brad, when you're at the draft, you're obviously sitting in meetings and you're a part of the draft strategy, and there is the Mangiapane trade and all that type of stuff. But like, how many agents did you end up meeting with in Vegas? Because it seems like every time I see you at a draft, you're about to talk to another agent. How many did you strike off this year?
Sure. Yeah. Well, you there's players that you like, draft eligible players that you're meeting with. You're having second and third meetings with some of these guys. So you're talking to the agents, getting those meetings set up during the draft. And, a lot of it is, it's just getting yourself organized for free agency, both on the American League side of things, on the NHL side of things, knowing that, you have to be prepared when the bell goes off, on July 1st, that you have your list in order and maybe who you're going after, right time. So, those are all things. It's everybody in hockey is at the draft, and it gives you that opportunity to see people. And whether you're hiring some staff and doing meetings with, potential staff members or like I say, meeting with players, it's a busy time.
Well, let's maybe dive into some of what we saw on Monday as the Flames and your group and Hockey Ops were busy when it comes to free agency. And that Wranglers squad that you oversee as well added some really important potential pieces. How do you feel things shaped up from the Wranglers side of things when it comes to free agency on Monday?
Yeah, I mean, you know, organizationally, I mean, it's hard to say where everybody falls and if they make the NHL team, and that's the goal of every player that you sign, or if they end up being with the Wranglers. But, you know, I think new faces, if you will, in goal, Devin Cooley. I think, you know, he was somebody that Jordan Siglett and Mackenzie Skapski and Jason LaBarber really targeted and liked. And, you know, to get him into the fold of our goaltending depth, we thought was important. You know, Jonathan Askarot was a player that played on an American League deal with the Wranglers last year, had a career year, 33 points. And, you know, we felt, you know, as a manager group that, you know, the right thing was to flip him over to an NHL deal. And, you know, he's one of those potential late bloomers in our mind. And we were excited to have him back in the fold and hopefully pushing for some NHL time. And then up front, you know, a familiar face, Justin Kirkland. You know, we had him a few years in Stockton, signed him as a free agent on the Nashville system. You know, he's back in a depth role and really think that he's going to push at the start of training camp. And then Martin Furk is another player that, you know, that we've liked for a long time and is a prolific scorer, especially in the American Hockey League. But, you know, he's done the same during his time in the National Hockey League. So just, you know, additional depth and additional scoring depth. And again, as I said from the get-go, these players are coming to camp to earn a spot on the NHL roster. But those are just some of the guys, you're right, that on Monday that we were busy looking at and then adding adult contract. Yeah, it's overall you're trying to fill those boxes. And, you know, sometimes you're doing that on July 1st and sometimes you're waiting until September 15th. But it's all part of the process.
Brad, you mentioned and wanted to ask you specifically about Furk, who you signed to the deal, the $775,000 deal, and whether it's American League, NHL, I know that it's a really nice depth option organizationally. If he does end up spending time with the Wranglers, you know, talking to you, talking to Coach Cull throughout the season, as the year went on, scoring became a little bit of a tough task. It was a real grind to generate goals. A guy like Furk should be huge in being able to boost that offense this year, shouldn't he?
Oh, yeah, no. And Martin is he's an offensive threat. His participation at All-Star games, he routinely is the hardest shot at, you know, these competitions. And he has an elite shot. He's a knack for scoring goals. As I mentioned, he scored goals in the NHL, has scored a plethora of goals in the American Hockey League. And, you know, if he spends time at the Wranglers, that's, I guess, A, we're hoping for, and B, he's got a resume in the past for just doing that. And that's exciting organizationally for us.
We're chatting with Brad Pascal, who joins us here, the VP of Hockey Ops, Assistant General Manager of the Calgary Flames, also oversees the Calgary Wranglers as their General Manager, joining us on this Wednesday edition of Flames Talk, Wes.
Brad, you mentioned Justin Kirkland, a guy that the organization has familiarity with, a guy who's now had a taste of hockey at the highest level, you know, a guy who's, been through it in terms of needing to recover from a fairly significant car crash and you know, that I suppose put his hockey career on hold for a little bit. What was the appeal of bringing Justin back into the organization? What can he bring, I suppose, regardless of what level he starts this season at?
Yeah, I mean, familiarity with him and the organization. And you know, once July 1st hit, he was the guy that, you know, I had a really good conversation with, and, you know, talked about the opportunities here. And you know, he's a guy that's hungry, wants to play in the NHL full time, has seen a taste of it over the last couple of years with a couple of different organizations. And, You know, the attractiveness there is the familiarity. You know, Justin to me is such a competitive player. You know, for us in the past, he's played wing, mostly wing, and some center. Over the last year and a half, he's played just primarily center ice, and that was an attractive factor for us. I think his face-off percentage in the American League last season was, you know, was in the top 5% of all face-off leaders, and you know, just, you know, I think a number of those factors brought into that, you know, we felt that Justin's going to come in and literally push for a spot at camp or make the decisions hard for, you know, for our NHL coaching staff. And, you know, there's some familiarity there with Justin with Ryan Huska. You know, when Ryan coached in Kelowna before we hired him, Justin was on the team with him in Kelowna. So, I mean, that's now 100 years ago, but at least there's some familiarity there. But it's, you know, I think a number of factors. But, you know, I make no bones about it. Justin's a player that I really like. And not just me, you know, I think Craig and Don and our pro scouts as well that we're excited to have back in the mix.
What, you mentioned that, you know, Jonathan Asperat has been a guy who's, you know, been trending upward in the organization's eyes. I think he turned a PTO at camp last year into an AHL deal. Now receives an NHL or a two-way deal. What do you like about Jonathan?
Yeah, that's, you know, he's always been kind of a late bloomer. He was a forward back in junior, then went to, and always like wearing a assistant captain or being the captain of the team, and then transitioned into defenseman, signed an NHL contract with Ottawa, was under NHL contract, and then, you know, found himself out of a job. And he was a player that our staff and our scouts had, you know, had followed and watched. And as you mentioned, hey, I remember we were in Penticton and talking to his agent, you know, the day before NHL training camp opened, and he jumped on a flight, made it to the medical the next day. And you know, we all thought that he really stood out in a positive way and flipped him, you know, put him on an AHL deal after camp. He's been on an AHL contract before. He's still a young player. You know, you look, sometimes you find these late blooming guys, and, you know, he's a good leader. He's obviously a good puck moving guy, on defense that skates really well. And, you know, organizational depth in those factors are real positive for us.
Brad, we're not going to see this guy in a Wranglers jersey, but if we could go back to the Stockton Arena days for a minute, maybe even, you know, the Adirondack Thunder days, how cool is it to see Ryan Lomberg back in the organization? How cool has it been to see him establish himself as a full-timer, to get his name engraved on the Stanley Cup, all that stuff, and then come back to where it all started?
Yeah, it's hey, honestly, guys, it's awesome. Like, he was a guy that we had on an American League deal, you know, didn't have room for, wasn't playing on our American League roster, went down, played for Cale MacLean in Adirondack in the ECHL, and he plays the same way no matter where he is, with just that passion, and you know, to see him get some games with the Flames was just, you know, it was awesome. Just, I mean, that's the best way to describe it for all of us. Such a heart and soul guy. And then, you know, we left the organization, as you mentioned, I mean, Stanley Cup, and to bring him back, like, this guy is passionate about the game. You know, he plays the same way every shift. And, you know, I think, you know, in talking to Craig, especially, and even our coaching staff, it's just, you know, you bring those guys into the lineup on a regular basis that, you know, you can't help but follow. And that's, you know, we're real proud for Ryan as a former Flame, but, you know, even more excited to have him back in the mold with our organization.
Brad, and then you did touch a little bit on Devin Cooley, and, you know, now you've got three goaltenders, all with very similar experience levels at the NHL. Cooley, Dustin Wolf, Dan Vladar. You've got some really intriguing options when it comes to how you manage your goaltenders, both the two that are in the NHL and then who that number one would be at the American League level. I would imagine from your standpoint, regardless of who ends up being there, you're feeling pretty happy about your American League goaltending situation for next year, too.
Yeah, for sure. That's one area. It's obviously good to have solid depth. And, we felt that we have that with adding Devin in the mix. It's a positive thing. As I mentioned, like with Cooley, that was somebody that Jordan Siglett and his staff had really identified, and with our pro scouts that, you always sit back and you're like, geez, who are the next up and coming guys that are pushing for spots? And obviously you want to draft these players and develop them, and through free agency, you look for these guys as well. And Cooley was the guy that the guy that our staff really liked, and to take a swing at him we thought it was a good swing to take.
Brad, I know we talk so much about the additions and the excitement around those guys. I'm curious, like, the nature of the American Hockey League is if a guy maybe hasn't got his NHL opportunity, he's going to go to another city and hope he can kind of break through there. And, it might not get a ton of attention when a Poolman or someone signs in another city. But I'm wondering, for you, as you get to know all these guys, when you see, Jones or Poolman or some of these guys go somewhere else and sign as a free agent, like, does this become kind of a bittersweet time for you?
Yeah, for sure. You have relationships with players and you have relationships with people, and both the guys you mentioned, Jones and Poolman, have been solid players and solid citizens for us. And you're right. I think these are two guys that never played NHL games for the Flames organization. So I think they're trying to live out their dream and be NHL players or get another opportunity. And in their minds, perhaps it's, with another organization, and they made that decision. But at the same time, we always have new people coming in, draft picks that are graduating to pro hockey, and there's only so many chairs to go around. So it's always a moving target of finalizing your rosters in the NHL and the AHL, and sometimes change is needed for both the player standpoint and even the organization standpoint. But those two players were, they were really good. They had long playoff runs for the Wranglers and provided solid leadership, both of them, to our young developing players.
Chatting with Brad Pascal, just a few more with the Flames VP of Hockey Ops and Assistant General Manager. You add a couple of veterans in Kirkland and Firk, but that does that change the organizational approach for the development model for the Wranglers, or are we talking about the same idea in terms of developing young players as we've seen the last couple of years?
No, same idea. And Craig Conroy and our management group, we talk a lot about that, of the importance of, using the American League as as our developing arm. I know, from the day Craig got hired, we talked about having some youthful exuberance in the Flames lineup and giving opportunities and even more so than we had in the past. I think we proved as a group that we provided some of those opportunities and want to continue to do that when we're not going to force players. When players are ready, some players need to take 3 or 4 years in the American League before they can really, have good structure to stand on and play in the NHL. So, it's an important thing. Organizationally, you spend a lot of money on your American League team, from salaries and operations, but, there's 32 teams in the league that rely on their AHL team as the lifeblood and a reforestation of your organization. And we're no different. The importance continues and will continue.
Reforestation. Yeah, I like that.
I made note of that too.
Yeah, there you go. That's the word of the day.
You might see that in the newspaper someday. I might steal that from you.
I like it. I like it.
Should talk for a living. That was well done. Reforestation. Yeah. Very nice. How
yeah, Yeah, stick with me. I'll throw a few things at you every day.
Okay, good to know. And we always would, ride or die. I saw Trent Cull momentarily in Vegas at your team hotel, and he was fired up and like vibrating there, like he was ready to rock. Then I feel like Trent Cull would love to get this season started right now if he could.
Yeah, no, Trent's always full of energy. He that's why we brought him into the organization. He's a great teacher and provides that energy on a regular basis, and we feel he's a really good leader for our young guys in teaching them and getting them ready, quite frankly. And he has that experience in the NHL and previous AHL experience, and it's good, guys. Yeah, I mean, hey, we still, there's still some holes to fill, and then there's spots to be won too at NHL camp. So it's I don't think we're done by any means, but there's still, as you look at lists and whatever, I mean, there's still lots of players out there without jobs, and there's lots of good players that we like organizationally, but that's up to us as a group to continue those conversations and see if there might be a fit. You always look to get better every day as a group, and under Craig's leadership, that doesn't change. And we're always looking to how we can get better, and whether it's a free agent or we're getting ready for next year's draft. Those are the things you're always looking at.
Good to catch up with you as always, my friend. We will see you at development camp, and we'll talk to you down the line. Welcome home, and thanks as always, hey?
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Brad Pascal, VP of Hockey Ops and Assistant General Manager of the Calgary Flames on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Celebrate the summer soccer spectacle from around the world and cheer on your favorite country on the big screens at Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. As we start to wrap things up, he's Wes Gilbertson on Twitter. My name is Pat Steinberg, and this hour all done. This hour has been the Sports Drive, which is brought to you, as always, by Calgary Lock and Safe. When it comes to your business, knowing your property secure is better than wondering who's getting in. Get peace of mind at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.